The Reverend Ellis Marshburn, who is with me in the studio for this broadcast, has been concerned with the problems of migrant labor for a number of years. Even before his graduation from the seminary, he served for 3 years in the winter among cotton-picking migrants in Arizona and in summers among the migrants in Oregon. In 1946, Mr. Marshburn was appointed to plan and supervise work with migratory labor in 20 Midwestern states, and he's now Migrant Supervisor of the Home Missions Council of North America. Marshburn, as compared to other states in the Middle West, does Michigan have a great deal of migrant labor?
Michigan would have the largest migrant labor group in the states surrounding the Great Lakes.
That's due to our fruit and vegetable harvest, I presume?
Yes, this state has a greater variety of crops and a longer period of employment than any other state.
Now, where do these migrant laborers tend to concentrate in the state? What parts of the state?
The greatest concentrations would be in the berry fruit area of Berrien County, would be in the sugar beet area in the central portion of the state, and the largest concentration of all occurs in the Traverse City area during the cherry harvest.
Now, when does this migratory labor come into Michigan, and when does it leave?
Migratory labor begins to arrive in May in the sugar beet areas. Most of it leaves at the end of the August crop period, some of it continuing into the sugar beet harvest, though, into October. There's also some apple pickers who continue to work into the fall.
Is the number of the migrants tending to increase or diminish?
The number is diminishing somewhat due to it being absorbed by the expanding industrial employment at the present time.
Depressions create more migrant labor.
Yes.
Well, now, where does this migrant labor come from, Mr. Marshburn?
Most of the migrant labor in this state would come from Texas. The Negro labor would come from the Deep South, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, Alabama. A surprising number come from Florida.
I see. You speak of the Negro. Are there a great many Negroes amongst the migrant laborers?
Probably a quarter of the total migrant group in this state would be Negro migrants.
How do they get here?
Most of them, of the Negroes, come in crews, often transported by trucks. Some own their own transportation and come a family to a car.
Do most of them, would you say, bring their families or not?
Yes, most of the migrants in this state are in family groups.
Well, now, how about the conditions amongst the migrant labor? Would you say the arrangements for their housing, for sanitation, is tending to improve or not?
We find two answers to this. Some growers have found the dollar and cents value of keeping their labor happy and healthy. These growers are providing housing which improves year by year in quality and in quantity. These growers will be careful to provide an adequate water supply and good sanitation. However, there are other growers whose housing depreciates every year and who tend to lose their labor force and have to find a new labor force on the succeeding year because they fail to provide adequate facilities.
Well, what kind of shelter do these people have?
I could show you both extremes, from well-equipped barracks, sanitary and comfortable, to those who live in chicken houses, brooder huts, and half of double-car garages.
Are there any local or state laws that bear upon the conditions amongst migrant labor?
Some localities have laws which regulate housing and sanitation. There is no uniform state law which regulates the kind of accommodations provided for migratory labor.
What about education? In case the migrants arrive with their families in the spring before school is out, or leave after school begins in the fall, do their children go to school?
Some of these children arriving in the spring are counted in school censuses.
Yes, I think we heard about that recently.
Many school districts get funds because they count migrant children.
It isn't peculiar to Litchfield, you don't think?
No, no. It is rarely, though, that migrant children are enrolled in the public schools. They're not always welcome when they do enroll. It has to be understood, too, that moving 5 to 7 times a year, it's difficult to enroll successively in that many different schools.
As a result, I suppose the child doesn't get much of an education in many cases.
We find many who have been enrolled in the first grade 7 different times.
Yes, that's so. Tell me, Mr. Marshburn, what is the attitude of the citizenry in the localities in which the migrant laborer lives?
There is a tremendous variation in attitude. Some look upon them as a necessary evil. There are, though, on the other hand, those who recognize the value of their contribution to the business life of an area and who try in every way to make them welcome.
Now, turning for a moment to your particular work, I believe you're connected with the Home Missions Council of North America. That's an interdenominational body, isn't it?
Yes, we are constituted by the mission boards of 23 Protestant denominations.
Now, just what's the nature of your work amongst these migrants?
My work is to direct a staff and program which concerns itself both with the social and welfare problems of the people and with their spiritual welfare.
How do you operate?
We operate at the social and welfare problem in cooperation with many public agencies. We also conduct programs of child care, of education, of recreation, of social activities. We add to these always, though, vacation Bible schools, worship services, Sunday schools, to take care of the spiritual needs of these uprooted and wandering people.
Do local committees from local churches take an interest in this work?
Yes. In almost every area, we have a sponsoring committee, quite often related to your Council of Church Women.
Oh, the church women seem to take a great interest in it.
Yes, women have accepted the major responsibility and have given the major support to this particular program.
Is enough being done?
No. There are just 20 of us nationally to try to direct programs for more than 2 million migrants.
2 million migrants. That's the figure that it averages, eh?
Yes, that's a good average.
Have you any idea, Mr. Marshburn, in the course of the year, how many migrants come into Michigan? I realize that's an unfair question, perhaps, since I haven't prepared you in advance for it.
There would be at least 30,000 in the Traverse City alone during the cherry harvest. I would say conservatively that at least 50,000 different migrants serve in Michigan every summer.
I presume amongst these people you find all sorts of variations of human nature, don't you?
Yes, there's the best and there's the worst.
Have you any impressions of them as a group? Do you find some that are quite well educated and fairly intelligent?
Some are exceptionally intelligent. Others have not had any opportunity for formal education. We have found, though, a strong sense of family solidarity, less delinquency on the whole than you find in many resident communities.
Is that so? Less delinquency?
Yes.
I suppose that family solidarity has something to do with that.
Yes. They're very loyal to every member of the family and very concerned about each one.
Mm-hmm. How far are they accepted in the communities? Do they go to the churches? Do they participate in any other community affairs at all?
The bars and taverns extend the most hearty welcome. The business houses welcome their trade. Most of them are reluctant to attend churches because they can't dress as the rest of the worshipers are dressing. In school, often the children are ridiculed by the children of the community until they don't feel comfortable and don't want to continue attending. There is a great variation in the attitudes that they encounter.
How do these people get started with their migratory habits? Is it a matter of choice or a matter of necessity with most of them?
It's a matter of necessity with most. It's the last resort of the desperate. I'm seeing it happen right now across the South that the cotton-picking machine is taking the job which have employed thousands of migrants across the South.
Now, of course, there's a demand for industrial labor in the cities, Do some of these people have skills or aptitudes which might equip them to hold industrial positions?
You would be amazed at how many migrants are settling to become residents of this state and to find employment in the industries around the state.
They come and they don't leave.
That's
right. They seek to migrate. Well, that's a very interesting thing. You were in Kalamazoo, I believe, talking to a group of church women here.
Yes.
Is there any activity here in connection with the migrant labor?
There is none in the immediate vicinity. There is a large program in Berrien County. There is another one at Marshall on either side of Kalamazoo. Your church women here contribute through the State Migrant Committee to the support of program which operates at more than 20 different project localities.
I see. I've heard, I think, of this project at Marshall. That's quite well known, isn't it?
Yes, and one of the most attractive and successful.
I think we have time if you can tell us just a word or two about that Marshall situation.
A church woman there with a great deal of personality spark-plugged the interest. A Mrs. Carl Gladstone aroused the church women of the community, found the migrants who were employed there to assist with the pickle harvest. She found that there were a great many children left alone during the day because the parents were employed. They started a child care program. They used, I believe, more than 100 women from the local churches who assisted with the cooking and the child care and other activities. They also had parties in which both the community and the migrants participated. They had a baby show. They had activities in which people could become acquainted with each other and come to understand and know each other better.
All because one woman finally got interested in this problem.
One woman started, perhaps, but a great many women followed after, and the whole community became interested, including the employers.
What's this I hear about Hartford going to have a strawberry festival or something of the sort this spring for migrant labor?
A great many southern white families come into that area for the berry harvest. They feel that these families are entitled to recreation and entertainment as well as employment there. They are hoping that this festival will attract labor that they need for the harvest from the south.
And this will be a sort of a thank you note.
A thank you note and a chance for the community and the migrant to have some fun together.
Well, that's very fine. Well, Mr. Marshburn, our time is just about up. I've enjoyed very much this visit with you, and I'm sure that our listeners also have learned a great deal from what you've told us and will, from here on in, take a lot more interest in this matter of migrant labor.